Welcome everyone to the January 17th, 2024 regular school board meeting of the Hillsborough City School District. It's 6:01. Call the meeting to order. Let's begin with the salute to the flag. Please rise and face the corner. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Item 1.2, approval of the agenda. Trustees, any updates to the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
A motion by Dawn, second by Ann. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. Agenda passes unanimously. Item 1.3, approval of the minutes. Trustees, any corrections to the minutes? We're approving minutes from December 13th, 2023 and December 18th, 2023. I see none. Any motion?
I move to approve both minutes.
And a second?
I'll second.
All those, I'm sorry, motion by Dawn, second by Gilbert. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. Minutes approved unanimously. All right, we're moving on to item 2, regular reports. Item 2.1, Hillsborough Teachers Association. Alec is under the weather. Tonight we have Mary Torello.
Hi, Mary Torello for HTA. I'm so happy to be here. I really am. It brings back so many memories. It does. I said I'd be back, and I'm back. Anyway, the teachers at all four schools are working really hard. The kids are working hard. Things are going well. The couple committees that we're collaborating on, negotiations and calendar, have been collaborating very well, and I think people feel we're moving in a good direction with that. I wanted to just say a couple words. So, Luann, I just could not be more delighted to just say that I enjoyed every single minute working with you. You are going to, this is my public opportunity to thank you. You have been so amazingly collaborative with the teachers in this district, everyone, but from the moment that you stepped foot here, I remember meeting you in your office. I just can't think of anyone who could have done a better job, exactly what we needed through the years. COVID together, getting kids back to school, figuring out how to do it. I was saying today that it, in certain ways, that might have been one of the most, one of the high points of my career, collaborating together with all of you around making that happen. And it's, a lot of districts didn't do it as well, didn't do it how we did it. And that's a huge tribute to you and to the school board. So thank you so much for that. And then I wanted to take the opportunity to welcome our new superintendent, Anna. You spoke so eloquently today. I think you're gonna fit in beautifully. You have our full support at all steps. You're gonna find this to be an incredibly collaborative, loving district. I think everybody assumes the best of intentions, but I think you're gonna fit in just wonderfully well, and we're so happy to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Item 2.2, California School Employees Associations. Tonight we're honored to have our president, Kim Hover, giving the report.
Hi, Anna, this is Kim again. And on behalf of CSEA, I wanna welcome you aboard, and I think you're gonna do a fantastic job. And with us, CSEA is very excited to continue negotiations, and we're very appreciative of the negotiation, the management negotiation group. We work very well together, so thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim. Item 2.3, the Associated Parents Groups. Jamie Harris. There you go.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm here. Okay. First off, welcome, Anna. We are excited to officially welcome you a little later tonight. APG has been busy. We have, let's see here.
Catch your breath. You just ran. You just flew from the library about five times back and forth. So it's okay.
Okay, here we go. This is the important stuff. We have our Citizen of the Year and Community Care Award nominations process happening now. So if you have someone you would like to nominate for either of those roles, the community... Hold on. Citizen of the Year is a volunteer in the community, and the serving across all who was Don, which I should mention previously. Can't forget Don. I'm doing a Marianne. Anyways, Don is one of our COI winners. Anyways, they are a person who has made a sustained contribution to and significant contribution to Hillsborough to the education and well-being of our children. And then the Community Care Award is usually a member of HCSD or the town or I don't know what other organizations there are, but other, it could be a paid position in the town and usually a HCSD person. But anyways, the nominees are someone who have worked with students or another vital community organization. Okay, so those are out, so please nominate people for that. And then on February 5th in this room, we will have Sahil Mishra, who is a HCSD alum. He's a junior in high school. He's founded an organization called Unwiring, and he is coming to speak to us with several other students from his organization. That is on February 5th from 6:30 to 8. There is an Eventbrite going out there, so if you want to come, please just RSVP so we know how many are coming. He also wants snacks, so high schoolers think differently. I think that's it right now for APG. We have two more speakers, one in April, one in March. Okay. I'm gonna pass.
Thank you, Jamie. And for the members of the public to know, APG was called in at the very last minute to basically bring food and drink for our receptions in the library. And Jamie also found herself on cleanup duty and has been rushing back and forth to get things and put things away. So thank you for flying in. Literally. Okay, so we are moving to 2.4 Hillsborough Schools Foundation. Cindy Panchula.
So HSF has good things to report. At the end of last year, as of 12/31/2023, all three of our elementary schools are over 80% participation. West is in the lead, not to promote any competition, but they're all very close. And, you know, we're definitely hoping to get more. And Crocker has a record, I believe, for participation at this time of the year. They're at 73% participation.
So
it really speaks to the passion of this community to support our schools. I just think it's amazing. I don't take credit for it. It really is the passion of our schools and everybody that contributes and all of our teachers and administrators who make the community feel good to give money and to donate and want to support. So thanks, everyone. We have our dinner dance coming up, which is our big fundraising auction, and we'll have a fund in need, which we'll announce probably next month. The tickets will go on sale on January 30th, and the event is on March 2nd at Hibernia in the city. And then we've got our speaker locked in for our Scholar Circle recognition event that will be on April 15th. And we'll announce that very shortly as well.
Okay. Thank you, Cindy, and congratulations on those participation numbers. That is remarkable, and I'm really, really proud of our district.
I'm proud of them, too. Thank you.
Thank you. 2.5, our superintendent's report. Luann.
Great. Thank you so much. You know, it is lovely having Mary here. I mean, my first years in Hillsborough, Mary sat in that seat every month And, you know, reported for HTA, and like we all navigated, and Kim too. Kim doesn't come to the board meetings. She lives far away, but Kim has been, our labor partners have been meant the world to us. They were there day in and day out during the pandemic, and really having their members understand the importance of getting kids back, and everybody did what they needed to do. And so it's just kind of a treat to see Kim here tonight and to see Mary here tonight. So just thankful for all they do and all that we navigated over all those years. Just amazing. And then I just want to welcome Anna. We are just thrilled to have you here. And as I shared at our welcome event, that, you know, we didn't get the level of candidates that we received just by some fluke. We got the level of candidates that we received for this job because of this board. And they were the ones who made all the difference in the world in, you know, people asked, that's the first thing they asked. And people who were interested in applying, that's the first thing they asked me if they knew me. What about your school board? And I could say with an open heart, it's the best board you're ever gonna come into contact with, and just incredibly, incredibly thankful. And what's reflected is we have this amazing superintendent who will be coming and loving our district as much as I do. And just so, so thankful for that. And just really looking forward to a great next 6 months where we get to be together. And Anna will spend time in the district getting to know all of you, all of our educators. The first thing when she and I had lunch together, the first thing she said is, I was like, oh, I need you to meet this and this and this. And she said, well, can we just go to classrooms and meet kids and educators? I was like, oh, yes, that's right. First priority. So just truly, truly love that and look forward to doing that. So welcome, Anna. And we'll obviously ratification here from the board. Then I want to share that we have a calendar update. The board has been asking for a number of years, could we please have a two-year calendar? We did it. So just letting you know, and we still need to work with CSEA to finalize. I'm looking at the calendar. HTA did vote, and we have a tentative starting date. And again, we'll need to work with CSEA and make sure we have all of our logistics in place. But we're looking at August 26th for the start of the 24-25 year, and don't have a heart attack, but September 2nd for the 25-26 school year. And that is because we are extending summers as much as we can for heating and air conditioning and new roofs to go in. And so that's what Leilani Bell has been kind of leading this charge. We've been working with HTA. And again, we're going to work with CSEA on this. But we're just looking for as long of summers as we can get. So we will bring it to the board for your approval in February. But I think those starting dates, I'm going to get ready to announce pending board approval because parents just really want to know. And HTA went as quickly as they could, but we really felt like we needed to have a conversation with CSEA and then we'll bring it to the board. But looks like we'll have 2 years ready to go. So super excited about that. Measure H, stay tuned, school board. We will be bringing a presentation from WRNS. We have Ron Russo here. We have Larry Raffo, our Measure H dream team. And so we're gonna have WRNS come and give a presentation to the board for the West Multipurpose Room. We're also working with QKA for the design of the Crocker Multipurpose Room. And I'm just really excited about that work moving forward. And of course, our facilities folks, we have Trustee Don Geddes and Trustee Wong Chen. And we just meet practically, well, we're gonna meet the next 2 weeks on Mondays to really kind of get the WRNS and the QKA work moving forward. So excited about that. January is School Board Recognition Month. Ta-da! So these amazing board members. As I shared earlier, we couldn't do the work we do without them, and just incredibly, incredibly thankful and thankful for them finding Anna. So yay. COVID guidelines. It's the wild, wild west, folks. So basically, if you don't have symptoms, come to work, come to school, even if you have COVID. So I just messaged this out. I'm sure it's going to go over like a lead balloon. This is California Department of Public Health. And if you have symptoms, there, stay home. And that's the case anyway. If you have the flu, if you don't feel well, if you're sick, mask, right? So the recommendation is, even if you're even if you don't have COVID, it's just courteous to come back if you're not feeling well and you're coughing to wear a mask. It's a little bit of a different reality these days. So I've messaged out to staff and I will message out to parents in the coming day. I just wanted to get this to staff first. And we still will notify staff of any positive case. We're still required by OSHA to let staff know if there's a positive case on the campus. But essentially, no symptoms, come to work, come to school. So, wow. And staffing update, we want to welcome our interim principal, Christy Shree, who will be covering for Principal Heather Mata, starting on January 27th. And so we're super excited for Principal Mata, and we're very excited to welcome Christy Shreve to the role of interim principal at West. She's been prepping for many, many, many years, and here she is. So yay to that. We're really excited, and Christy's just a member, well, everybody is, but Christy has really been a part of our leadership team this year, as has all of our instructional coaches, and that's been super beneficial. So happy to have Christy join the team. In terms of 24-25 enrollment, significant numbers of our little TKs. We have 30 at West. I think we have 18 or 19 at South and 18 or 19 at North. So we have a lot of little ones, little squirts. Kindergarten, we really need to try to get those enrollment numbers up. They're still pretty low. So we're really looking to make kind of a push to get kinders to enroll, but a lot of TKers. And so all of that, we're really looking at staffing and just looking at numbers. And we're doing that earlier because we knew that Principal Mata was going to be out, and we just kind of wanted to address some of that. So just know that we're looking at those numbers. And the assessed property values, as we shared last month, it's just flat because they're not reporting right now. I'm not exactly sure what's happening, but it continues to be 3.8. And they did say that they weren't going to update because they were going through maybe some software adjustments. Maybe I'm making this up. What is it, Joyce?
The update was as of November. In November, that already moved along. But they don't update it every day. The one 3.8 is as of January 8th.
Right, but it was it's been stuck there because there was some problem with their system.
Oh, but the data is available again now. It's just the 3.8.
Okay, yeah. 3.8, so...
Holding steady,
yes. And that's about it. Okay, that's it for me.
Thank you. Do any trustees have questions or comments on regular reports you've heard this evening? Do any members of the public have a comment on regular reports? See none, so let's move on to our current business. Item 3.1, ratification of superintendent's employment contract. Trustee Dennis, you have the floor.
Got about 10 pages here, so settle back. Kim, our president, mentioned earlier tonight that hiring a superintendent is the single most important thing that a board can do, and this board takes that very seriously. That's because the superintendent's not just a lead learner or the CEO. They're an expression of the board. They express how we wish to serve our students, how we wish to support our staff, how we want to relate to our parents and greater community. And she, in this case, represents the board's priorities, sensibilities, and collective personality. She personifies how we wish to treat people in this district. I don't know if Anne remembers this, but at our first planning meeting on July 25th, six months ago, after we learned of Luann's plans, before we got all this great and wonderful input from our constituent groups, we turned to Luann and said, what made you successful? What are the characteristics and qualities that made you successful? And I wrote them down. I'm an obsessive note taker. And they are. Someone who does not take credit even when they rightfully could. Someone with at least 5 years of superintendent level experience. Someone who has an emphasis on and expertise in curriculum. Someone with a healthy competitiveness. Someone who accepts responsibility. Someone with no personal agendas. Someone who's able to appreciate the unique culture of our community. Someone willing to accept help, and someone who engages in preemptive listening. That's listening to people before they even ask you to listen to them. you realize you need to. It's preemptive listening. And usually in these circumstances, a board is fortunate, lucky to tell you, we think the person we've selected is going to meet these criteria, these qualifications. I'm honored to tell you that I know Anna is going to meet these qualifications because I've known her and worked with her for 10 years. So I know with a certainty. She checks most of these boxes, if not all of them. I think I speak for the whole board when I say we're extremely proud of how we're fulfilling this most significant responsibility as trustees in choosing Anna. Without disclosing confidential resources, one of the statements from Anna's references, a phone call actually with me, resonates with me. He said, if you let this one get away, shame on you. And that obviously stuck in my brain. And just last night, we're getting unsolicited as we go around. I hear from a principal who worked with Anna and said, oh God, you're so lucky. And others have heard neighbors. Last night I was at a closed session in another district, unable to go to Kim's wonderful event. And the first thing the superintendent did was come up to me and shake my hand and say, congratulations, I'm so happy for your district, because he worked with Anna in San Francisco Unified. In fact, I think he was kind of your counterpart for the secondary schools of the district. And finally, in the words of a great and outgoing superintendent, based on what we've already seen, Luann has assured us that Anna is all in for Hillsborough City School District. So we're very excited about the next phase of our future here. I have some business to conduct before this is over, but before I do that, I'll turn it back to you, Madam President.
Thank you. Do any trustees have any comments on what Greg just shared? Gilbert?
In addition to the comments that people have given already to the engagement and the contributions of our staff, parents, and community members for their time in this process, and also to Kim, who've been working tirelessly on the communications that we've all seen, is I want to not only thank our trustees Chen and Dennis and Leilani for their work, but I also wanted to give a special shout out to my colleague, Trustee Dennis. And so some of you don't know this, he and I worked on the last search before when we found Luann, you have to know that it was through his professional personal contacts that we learned about Luann's availability 7 years ago. And that he was the one who, as he said, reached out to Anna to look at our website to get the process started. So in both cases, he was pivotal, and I want to thank him personally for what he's done for us.
Yay, Greg.
Thank you, Gilbert. Any other comments? Do any members of the public have a comment? Okay, then we're going to go back to the business. Please.
I get my voice back here. Okay, the business at hand. The discharge of our duty, in this case my duty under the law, requires that before the board takes final action ratifying a superintendent's contract, we must provide a summary of the recommended action on the major terms of the contract, orally report the major terms of the contract, mainly the compensation benefit related terms. And so the contract is in the packet for everybody to see, so I'm going to summarize the major terms of this contract to comply with the Brown Act. The term of the contract is 3 years, July 1, 2024 through June 30th, 2027. The salary for the 2024-25 school year is $270,000. Total compensation also includes advanced degree stipends equal to that provided to other district administrators, a district-paid tax-sheltered annuity of $5,000 annually, health and welfare benefits equal to that provided to other district administrators, and a district contribution to retiree benefits after serving 5 years in the district for a period of 10 years after retirement or until age 65, whichever occurs first. Those are the major terms of our contract for Anna de Arce to serve as the district's next superintendent. And with that, I heartily recommend that the board ratify the contract.
Do any trustees have a comment about the ratification of superintendent's employment contract? See none. Do any members of the public have a comment on the ratification of the contract? Are we ready to make a motion?
I move to approve.
Oh.
Can we give it to trustee?
I beat you. I move to approve incoming superintendent Anna De Arce's contract.
Do we have a second?
I will second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Congratulations. Congratulations to our incoming superintendent, Anna De Arce. If you'll come down, we've got a couple, we've some goodies for you. Anna is joined by her husband, Takashi Fukuda. Some dear friends are here. Hi, friends.
Luann taught me how to use the mic. I am both surprised and delighted. And it means a lot coming from this group. So thank you. And I think what resonates with me the most about this whole group is the pronoun we. And you use the pronoun every single time I talk with any one of you. We do this. This is for our students. We feel this. We. And it's that collective spirit and care and love that is evident in every single conversation. And honestly, even every text message. So thank you. And I am feeling all the things. And it is both truly a delight, and it is an honor. Thank you.
Let's take a 5-minute recess. We'll take some photos and we'll come back. Returning from recess, let's move to item 3.2, the 2023 California School Dashboard. Matthew.
Linder. All right. Well, thank you so much. This will be a tough act to follow, but I'll try. We're going to keep the excitement up for the dashboard. Woo! All right. 2024, we are back to pre-COVID color dials. So back to some familiarity there. This is our big question as we look at this information that we want to be thinking about. How are our systems working together to support each student in our district? So that's what this is really, really about. As we looked into different student groups, we want to be thinking about how are we actually doing. I often talk about how when we only look at the all level, there are groups of kids who are hidden in that data. So we're going to pull back the curtain a little bit tonight. Some of our demographic information, this is on the dashboard. Again, this is for the whole district. You can see for every individual school, you can see the exact same information for them that is specific to their school. So we have four different student groups and then seven race ethnicity groups that are represented. You have to have 30 or more students in order to have a color dial on the dashboard. So you will see that there are some student groups here who will not show up in the same way as others on the dashboard. Doesn't mean they're not there, doesn't mean they're not here with us. So it's important for us to be looking at some of that level as well. But this just gives that current picture of who our students are in the district as we go. We continue to be in declining enrollment. You'll see at the very bottom, there's 2023 with an asterisk, because if you are familiar with your number sense, you know that 1260 is actually less than 1294. But that's because last year we added an entire grade level of students that was not here before. So we added TK, and TK students are in those numbers as well. So when you actually look at the enrollment, it continues to decline. So just something for us to know. This dashboard, it will always also call out socioeconomically disadvantaged English learners and then foster youth as well. So, eight state priorities. The ones we're focusing on tonight are 4, pupil achievement, 5, pupil engagement, and 6, school climate. So achievement is the math and ELA indicators from CASP, pupil engagement, that has to do with attendance, and then climate has to do with suspension rates. Not going to read all of this on the slide, but we're going to see some graphs that will actually help us understand this. The color dial is based on how well you've done and then how well you did last year. So the status and change that you experience. I'm going to move through this one really quickly. This basically is who gets to have extra support and gets to have an extra label and more things to do, oftentimes with no additional funding. Hopefully nobody. I think we're actually in the clear this year for a nobody, but that list is still to come out. I do want to point out that our pupil engagement, priority 5, is boxed in orange because we have an orange on the chronic absenteeism indicator. If that were to turn to red, we could be getting close to the danger zone. So we're going to look a little more carefully at some chronic absenteeism. It matters. And we currently do not qualify to receive any assistance. So let's jump right in, look at our academic and English learner progress. Participation rate, I just want to point out that students who enroll a couple of weeks before we start testing and those that leave a couple of weeks or enroll near the end of testing aren't included in our numbers. So this is something to be thinking about if we have, oh my gosh, we have a late enrollment, they just came in June. We'll still offer them the test. They won't be counted in our numbers because they weren't reasonably our students for instructional purposes. There is a penalty for less than 95% participation. Yes, we got penalized. 4, one of our student groups in particular. So you have to have 95% of your students in your school or in the district in each of the groups that are reportable. Attempt to take the assessment. That can mean they started the test, they gave it a good go, maybe they didn't finish, but they attempted. We have in a couple of our groups fewer than 95% that even attempted the assessment, so we were assessed what is called a loss score, which is a lowest obtainable scaled score. For ELA, that's a negative 333. For math, it's a negative 343-ish that each student gets, and that gets added into the score to determine our distance from standard overall. So when students don't test, we get lower scores than we would have for them. Students who are excluded from that participation rate, if you go out on medical emergency or those first and second periods, and then English learners who are enrolled after April 15th of 2022 are not included in the ELA rate for participation, but they are in math. Parent and guardian exemptions, that's when we, when parents or guardians exempt their students out, they are counted in the participation rate. So the 5x5 matrix, as you'll see across the top, this is the change. So did you decline significantly, decline, maintain, increase, or increase significantly from the prior year? And then down the left-hand side, it's what level did you achieve? So this helps, I think, give a little bit more of a context for our entire district. So we'll see up here in this blue, increased and very high status is where we have all students. And all of our other reportable student groups show up there as well. So in blue, we have Asian, two or more races, white, Hispanic as well. Increased and high, we have English, so they're in green. Our students with disabilities are in orange. Here's the example. We will be calling them out in our next LCAP because there is such a discrepancy between how they scored or how our students with disabilities scored on ELA as compared to all students. If our participation rate had been better with our students with disabilities, we would likely have been in either yellow or green with that group. So there were six students, I think, that we were off. So each of them got a 333 negative that was added in. When you do the math, it dropped the calculation. So it does matter. And I think that's the take-home message. It matters. English learner participation, or our English learner rate, we jumped up to having every single English learner make at least 1 year's growth last year. So the prior year, you can see 46% progressed at least one ELPI level, which you can see on that little chart above. Last year, 100% of them, which was a 53% increase over the prior year. We do not have enough students, though, to have a color. So. For mathematics, again, just like ELA, we've got a nice bunch of student groups up in that blue area. Our students with disabilities are yellow, so that's two or more as well. So we'll be noting that for mathematics, that we have a discrepancy of two different color or two color levels apart. Our English learners, we are up in green with them, but we can see that it's in a green area we wish we weren't, which is declined. We wish that wasn't a decline, but it's still high enough. Our students with disabilities would likely not have changed for mathematics based on having more students take it, just how the calculation worked out. Chronic absenteeism. All the principals like look up. Chronic absenteeism is 10% or more of school days. If you're enrolled in the entire year, that's 18 school days. You have to attend school for at least 31 days, and you actually or have to be in, or you have to have attended at least one day out of the 31 days to start in order to be counted. That's most students. We don't do so well there. So our all students are in orange. So we have a level medium. So it's about 9% actually that were chronically absent, and that was an increase from the prior year. So wrong direction. We want declines and decreases and very lows. We didn't have that. Our Hispanic student group did decline, and they have low chronic absenteeism, but other groups quite a bit higher. Our students with disabilities, I want to point out, declined significantly over the prior year. Still in yellow, still higher than we'd like, but a significant decline. So that's the right direction as well. chronic absenteeism. Again, like I had mentioned, there are certain groups of students who aren't included in that, but for the most part, most of our students are. We tend to have very few students who are in NPS or on home hospital. We do not have any attending a community college full time, but that technically is one of the measures. Suspension rate. This is the number of students that were suspended, the number of individual students, not the number of times they were suspended. It's the number they were suspended, or the number of students. We also saw some increase there, and I think we're expecting that. So it's not a surprise, but it's also not the direction we're hoping. This year, based on how things are moving, we're going to be moving in the right direction. When we compare our current year to last year, we should see more decline and significant declines and lower rates. But when we have smaller student populations, one student can have a fairly big impact in adjusting this rate, especially if you consider how it moves from maintained to increasing. It can be very small. One student can move it over. So. Again, some information I've already shared. You need to have 30 or more in order to actually have a color. 11 to 29, you'll get the information without a color. Fewer than 10, we will not see any information at all. So here's our overall indicators. And then I've gone through each student group below that with them in order alphabetically, so you can see those color dials as well. So I'm gonna click through these, and then we'll be near the end. So you can see where we are, ELA math, chronic absenteeism, suspension, on down. Would you like me to continue?
Please do. Okay. Yeah. We'll have comments at the end of the presentation.
Okay, so our Asian student group, blue, orange, and yellow, English learners, green, orange. I included our Filipino students because we do get information for them, even though there aren't enough students. You can see 16 for ELA and math and 21 because, again, remember ELA and math's only third through eighth graders, so you have fewer students who are in that number. But I wanted to be able to show achievement and then change for them as well. Hispanic students, blue, green, and then blue. Socioeconomically disadvantaged, again, they will, because of the numbers, they'll show up for chronic absenteeism and suspension, but we don't have enough socioeconomically disadvantaged students who are taking the assessments to get an ELA or math score. Students with disabilities, orange and yellow, yellow and orange. And two or more races. And white, blue, orange, yellow. So now what? So we want to use this information not only in our LCAP and in our site plans to be able to look at how are we doing over time, but we want to be looking at any discrepancies we see, how are students experiencing our schools differently. I've talked with all of our principals at some level about some of their own data and use this to help us drive forward and do that without hopefully needing to have any additional indicator or designation that requires it. We're going to do it because it's the right thing for students. If you want to learn more, please go to caschooldashboard.org. If you're in this presentation, you can click right on that link. I'm also always happy to talk through any of the indicators or any of the information that I have. And that's it.
Thank you, Matthew. You're welcome. Do any trustees have questions or comments about the California School Dashboard? John.
I had written a question when I looked at the packet, but you answered it live before I got there. The decline in enrollment I was interested in. Didn't quite understand that number being bigger. Thank you. The TK thing, it probably isn't enough to matter, but as I understand it as well, there are some students that might have otherwise been in kindergarten that have chosen to go to TK. So it's a little bit confusing about whether the larger number, what the enrollment would have been without TK, but there probably aren't enough of them to matter.
It's about 25 students, so it would have been fairly flat.
Yeah.
But still, in the trajectory over the last number of years, that still declines.
But thank you for answering my question before I asked it.
Do any other trustees have comments? Members of the public that have comments on the dashboard? Bonnie, we just need you to get on a microphone, yeah. Please. You can come to the podium or use here.
We can share a microphone.
Thank you.
I was taking notes. I just wanted to know what is considered disabilities. Is that IEP 504 students, or are they? Okay. Just those. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, just students with an IEP. Yep. No worries. And it was an IEP at any time during that school year.
Okay. Luann, you had a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, you know, one of the things that we discuss as a leadership team repeatedly is about chronic absenteeism. And we're in a very unique district where families have resources to go regularly on vacations anytime they'd like to. Many of our families do. And that directly impacts chronic absenteeism. Because chronic absenteeism, it's even when a child is sick, it's any reason they're not in school for that number of days. So it could be if they're ill. And of course, if a child's ill, we want them to stay home. But a lot of the chronic absenteeism, a lot of the students who are absent, we're finding that it's because they're leaving on vacations. And, you know, for me, some of those vacations are incredibly enriching experiences for the kids. So I don't want to leave some big blanket statement like, don't do this. I just need us all to be cognizant of the fact that it's going to play out in this matrix. So you can't look away from it. It's going to be there. And that has big implications, as it did in North, because there was absenteeism. And Heidi has been doing a tremendous job of communicating and just letting people know that this is what the situation is. So as a district, we just need to know we're going to lie in those lower quadrants because of chronic absenteeism. So we just have to know that that's part of what happens.
Do any other members of the public have a comment on the dashboard? Okay, well, this was an informational item. Thank you, Matthew. And we will move on to item 3.3, district representative for county committee for school district organization. Luann.
Well, we tried to get away with not having a representative, and we got in a little trouble from the county. So, school board members, we would greatly appreciate if one of you would enter into this committee that met zero times last year at the county. Trustee Danis has represented us well he was actually a voting member. And so now we have to have a representative just to attend these meetings. And so I just would ask that the trustees, if you would possibly, again, I just want to remind everyone, there's no meetings last year, but if we could have a trustee volunteer to take this position, that would be lovely. It's a bait and switch. I don't know how many meetings are going to happen this year. So I'm just reporting out on that. But perhaps one of you would volunteer to do that. And Antoinette and I can stop getting in trouble from the county. So if one of you could do that, that'd be lovely.
Trustees, anyone raising their hand, turning on their mic?
I'm just curious, do any trustees have more experience on this topic than others? Just to clarify, there is a position on the committee that has to be filled. That's not what this is about. This is for voting for who goes on the committee.
No.
That's not right?
No. This is a representative from the Hillsborough City School
yes.
District. So there's representatives from all districts in the county. And as I read here, there are 23 voting representatives, one from each district. And what the representative does is attend the November annual meeting, which already passed. You have to worry about that. But I believe that it says there's 23 voting representatives. But, Greg, I remember in the past that it was a...
No, Don's right.
Yeah.
The county committee on school district, I did it for 16 years.
Yeah.
So it's, gosh, 10, 12 people. And once a year they call a meeting to elect... or re-elect the county committee members. And
yes.
each district needs to have a representative to come to that meeting to vote.
To vote for
so
them.
So it's literally one meeting.
But they're voting on the representatives who will then decide
yes.
the issues that
That's
come before the board.
Yes, I had to campaign heavily to stay on
right.
that committee.
And it looks like Lynn Esselstein is one of the committee members for our District 1.
So it's one meeting.
It's one meeting to vote.
I would like to nominate our board president.
I see a plus somewhere.
Wow.
To go to one meeting a year.
Okay, yeah. Do any other trustees have interest in being voluntold? Okay, I would be happy to be a voting representative.
You're in big trouble.
Oh, yeah, you are in big trouble. Will someone make a motion?
I move to elect Trustee Kim Olaf as our representative to the district committee on whatever, county committee on school district organization.
We should probably ask the public before we move. Any public comment on, that might want to object to that. Okay, we are ready for that motion. Thank you.
All right, I move to nominate Trustee Kim Olaf as the district's representative to the county committee for school district organization.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Don, second by Gilbert. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. motion passes. I will be your representative. Okay, so we'll move on to item 4, our consent agenda. Do any trustee want to pull something from tonight's consent agenda? Gilbert?
I'd like to pull item 4.7, proposal for demographic analysis.
Okay, and do any other trustees want to pull an item? Okay, so do we then have a motion to approve consent agenda items 4.1 through 4.6?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
A second. Okay, motion by Dawn, second by Ann. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any oppose? None. That passes unanimously. Gilbert, item 4.7.
Yes, I want to pull it for a couple of reasons, of one of which is to understand a bit more about the proposal for demographic analysis. We've had mixed or negative results from the last time, and I want to understand a little bit more about what we're doing differently this time. And I know there are reasons, but I want to understand better.
Thank you, Gilbert. So a couple things. We are now working with Van Pelt Construction Services, and they recommend let me begin by just saying, what I'm asking the board to approve, and Gilbert didn't ask this, but just to clarify, is the amount, King Consulting, the amount of funds that would be allocated to do this demographic study. One of the things we've talked about on our facilities team, so Trustee Wong Chen and Trustee Geddes, is the need to do a demographic study. When I first came to Hillsboro, I received a demographic study that was done in 2016, and it was very, very inaccurate. And so I've had a little bit of PTSD in getting another demographic study because we had such terrible results. I mean, if you look at that study, I looked at it again. It had us over 1,500 students in 2021. So it was very, very much off the mark. So Eric Van Pelt has been gently trying to push us to have a demographic study just so we can look at these numbers, especially with looking in the future when we have the housing built, if and when it gets built. Those are just things for us to consider. So King Consulting, Eric Van Pelt sent us an email that basically updated. They worked with another local district, San Bruno Park, and they had a 98.9% accuracy in the demographic results reporting for them. And then he also shared that they did a study with Chico Unified with 12,000 students, and they actually were within 13 students of their projections. It was 99% accurate. So a couple things that Eric and I talked about. One thing that I was concerned about that I don't know that our previous demographer did was we share a zip code with Burlingame. And I, in looking back at those records, that was the study that was done in 2016, I saw repeatedly, and I didn't look through every page, but they lumped together 94010. And that's not accurate for us. That includes Burlingame. So while Burlingame was growing, we were either flat or we were slightly declining. But it didn't look like that because Burlingame had a big growth. And so that, you know, Eric was very clear in that King Consulting understands that we share a zip code, but we are a different district than Burlingame. So that was one of the highlights here. And the other thing that he just shared is that looking at the work that King Consulting has done, they actually look at the data quest, and you can look at the demographics to see how closely those numbers actually come together. And they're, again, like in the 98% accuracy. And so that's why we're going with King Consulting. What other things that they're doing, I don't know the exact specifics, like they're investigating this or they're doing that. The biggest thing is that they're taking our zip code and just breaking it out for Hillsborough. And I really think that that's where we went wrong last time. I can't confirm that, but looking at the past report, and I did look at that, it looks like that's where the problem was. And basically what they say, the full study document, it takes a detailed look at the school district's current profile, recent history to explain where future enrollment is headed, and what factors will most influence enrollment trends. So in other words, the study is not going to just explain the future, but it also will explain what basically why it will happen. So they can make projections and they explain why they believe those numbers are what they are. I'm actually kind of excited about it because I feel like he also, Eric Van Pelt, gave us links to Napa Valley Unified, Imperial Unified, pretty big districts with very, very accurate results. So I'm hoping they can do the same for us.
Do any trustees have a comment or question about this item, the proposal for demographic analysis?
I just want to thank Superintendent Carlo Magna for helping enlighten us on what happened last time and what we have learned and what we're doing differently. Thank you.
Do any members of the public have a comment on our consent agenda item 4.7? I see none. So do we have a motion to approve consent agenda item 4.7, proposal for demographic analysis?
I move that we approve item 4.7 to approve the expenditure of $13,000 from the Measure H bond program for the demographic study.
Second.
Motion by Gilbert, second by Don. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Let's move to item 5, public comments for items not on the agenda. Do any members of the public have comments for something not on the agenda? I see none. Move to item 6, communications and board item discussions. Do any trustees have communications to share? All right, we'll move to item 7, public comments concerning closed session items. Do any members of the public have comments concerning closed session items? I see none, so we will adjourn the regular meeting at 7 o'clock. On the
All right.
Thank you.
Jamie, thanks again for all your help tonight. I know you were running back and forth like crazy, and it was super. Thank you so much.
And
Antoinette, for sure. Thank you. Hi.
This was so fun.
Thank you for being here.